I came to the college here in 1979. It was by chance that I had heard that Father Martin Loftus was looking for somebody to do desk duty in the office while he would be out. And I said, I think I'll give this a shot and see what it's like. Now, I had no experience of this kind of work whatsoever. I'd never been sort of out in the front meeting people. So I had no idea what was facing me. But I'm delighted that I was, you know, privileged to be called to do this work, because it's an experience that I'll never ever forget. It's a fabulous experience, and you know, people are so open and so honest when they come in, and they just want to sit and talk and to tell their story over a cup of tea or a cup of coffee.
Catherine, what do you see as your role?
I see my role in the office, as the chaplaincy office, as one of just being there to listen to their story. Not to advise, not to say this, not to be judgmental, nothing like that. Just to listen and to reach out in God's love and God's presence with each person who comes into the office.
Being visually impaired and working as a chaplain, what's that like?
I have to say that I'm very, very privileged to be working in chaplaincy. It's lovely meeting all the people, young people especially, coming into the office with their own story. Being visually impaired is very, very slight when I listen to some of the people talking who come into chaplaincy and telling their story. Stories of sadness and family loss. And it puts my own visual impairment into perspective. And I don't complain. I'm always saying how lucky I am and thanking God that I have the gifts that I have to enable me to get on with my life and to enjoy the company of so many people around me.
What are the challenges, the difficulties that you encounter?
What I find hardest to handle is people coming into chaplaincy, with especially young people coming in with the sadness of death. I think is the hardest to face, and I find that a very, very tough experience, because many times students will come in to chaplaincy and they'll talk about maybe a mom or a dad having died, and they'd be only a young parent. And I do find that very, very disturbing. And, you know, it's so sad, really. And yet it is part of our life. And, you know, what can we do? And as my coming reflection says, you know, I had so many questions to ask Jesus, and we're always asking, you know, why does he allow these things to happen? The people to be sick, young people to die. Why does Jesus do this? And we just don't have any answers. Love on the Via Dolorosa. I had so many questions to ask Jesus, but when I met him, my many questions didn't seem to matter anymore. Walking with Jesus on the road to Calvary, seeing him suffer, I asked him, "Why do you suffer in this way? Why does it seem so often that you ask those you love to suffer?" I also said to Jesus, "I do my best to walk with you along the road of life, but so often I only see one set of footprints. Don't you understand that the road is long and difficult, and I am so alone? What more can I do to show my love for you? They have placed a crown of thorns on your head. Your face and body are bruised and broken." Through his tears, Jesus said to me, "I really love you. I will always be with you to help you to carry your cross. Your cross will never be too heavy. It has been made especially for you. I promise you a special place in paradise, where you will meet all your loved ones, where I will love and care for you in a very special way. All your hurt and all your suffering will be over. Yes, I had so many questions to ask Jesus, but when I met him, my many questions didn't seem to matter anymore.